Deseret News, Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 333, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. It's all about quarterbacks in this episode. We break down all the QBs currently on the roster and predict the starters and backups for the next four seasons. Also on the show, Ed Lamb says some stuff, Jimmer is in the Final Four, and Joey Chestnut definitely does not win a sandwich-eating competition. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout, and listen to us right now. So Matt, this is a dumb question that I'm about to ask, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you have one of the movie passes? The movie pass?
Oh, come on.
That's stupid. Why would you pay?
I don't have
pay for that. The question at this point is, why would anyone pay for it? So today I went to go, like, our brother Sam last week tried to go to a movie on the day where they didn't have any money and couldn't pay for tickets. Okay, so that's unfortunate, right? And today I'm going to take some of my kids to Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is a great movie. And I had already seen it, but the kids hadn't seen it. So I go to take them, and I'm going to use my movie pass and then pay and buy their tickets, right? But at our favorite theater, the only option, and this was the only time we could go that fit in our schedule, the only option for tickets today was you had to buy the first show of the day, which was 10 o'clock, and I have a job, so I can't do that, 10 a.m., I mean, or the last show of the day, which was 10:40 p.m. Not going to take my little kids to a 10:40 p.m. show.
Live a little. Come on, Mangum.
Yeah, I know. I'm a stick in the mud. So I canceled. I canceled the movie pass. I mean, I should be their customer. In theory, I love it, but they've now made it so weird because they can't make any money. And then I got this email from them, you know, like, a letter to all of our customers. And you're just basically like, they have no idea what they're doing. They just don't know how to make money.
They don't know how to execute the idea. They can't do it.
No, they can't do it, which is too bad because I love movies and I'm their person. I'd love to pay, but I'm out. And their tech support person or customer support at the person said, are you satisfied with this exchange? Because I said, you know, their product stunk. And I said, no, I'm not. She said, well, thank you very much and have a great day. I'm like, are you the most tone deaf customer service person ever?
It's a bot, dude. That's not even a real person. That's a robot.
Whatever. Then get your algorithm better. I said I was canceling and that their service was a joke. Have a nice day! Exclamation point. Anyway, well, let's jump into our first question in the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
This comes via email, so you can climb on in the tweet bag via email at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. This is from Tim Jacobson. He says, for your information, actually he says FYI, but just in case people don't know what that means, I'm going to say it all out. Just in case.
Yeah, listen, you just need to get to the rest of this question ASAP as possible.
All right. Yep, I went to get some money out of the ATM machine. All right.
FYI, your information.
Yeah, FYI, your information. Here we go. He says, my youngest son turned one. Congratulations, youngest son of Tim Jacobson. We grilled bratwurst, melted Havarti, pepperoncinis, and barbecue sauce, and was a hit with all the brothers-in-law and wives and kids who were wise enough to try. Several of my kids would not have tried it. Thought it was worthy of a report. Well done, Matt. Please dial up that offense for us come football season. I still haven't tried this yet, Matt. I feel bad.
I had it again last night. We came home from vacation last night, and we didn't want to go out to eat again. And so I said, let's just stop at the store, pick up some brats. I got some burgers and some other things there. But we did it again last night. You gotta get out. You gotta get out and try it.
Yeah, I will. We'll do it soon. Second tweet bag question comes from Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. You can tweet at us if you want to do it like Justin did at BYU_RiseShout. He said, thoughts on Joey Chestnut's amazing record-breaking performance of downing 74 sandwiches in 10 minutes. Hot dogs equals sandwich. Hashtag tweet bag. And then he linked to a YouTube video of highlights of Mr. Chestnut. Doesn't this prove that it's not a sandwich? It's not the Nathan's Hot Dog Sandwich Eating Contest. And by the way, I've found a new definition that says the bread has to be separated for it to be a sandwich. So, game over.
Listen,
again.
We've already argued that about the bread being separated or not. If it were a hamburger eating contest, would you require them to call it a hamburger sandwich eating contest for you to agree that a hamburger is a sandwich?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's just not true. That's just a lie. Now you're lying.
That's not a lie. It's totally true. Plus, there's no such thing as a hamburger eating contest.
Yeah, there is. They competitively eat all this stuff. You think Joey Chestnut is a one-trick pony
that only
competes in eating hot dog sandwiches?
No, he eats all sorts of hot dog sandwiches. You're ridiculous. Hot dog's not a sandwich. All right, let's move on.
I never say hot dog without the word sandwich behind it.
You are. Now who's lying? Now who's lying?
I made hot dog sandwiches for a couple of my kids last night.
Stop it.
Because they didn't want to have the brats.
Because they didn't want to have bratwurst sandwiches?
And one of my children did not have a hot dog sandwich because he just wanted his hot dog cut up into little bite-sized pieces.
Stop it. Stop
That's
it.
That's not a sandwich.
You're being
That's
ridiculous.
Just a hot dog.
You're a hot dog. All right. We got lots to do.
I'm a hot dog sandwich.
So let's go to thecougarfan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news.
Get all of your BYU sports news at cougarfan.com. Matt Jemmer is headed to the Final Four.
Yeah, he is.
Of
That's
this
where he belongs.
Tournament. So, Matt, what do you make of this tournament? The tournament.
I think this tournament is the greatest thing that ever happened to organized sports.
It's actually called the basketball tournament, I believe, not just
yeah,
the tournament.
Yeah, that's the best name. Like, can't they get a marketer in there? Like, that's the best they got?
Yeah, apparently. It's the best they got.
And you're a marketing guy.
Yeah, I could do better than that. I would call it the awesome basketball tournament. Huh?
Actually, I guess I shouldn't complain about the branding because it worked.
Yeah, it's a basketball tournament. It's sometimes simple is better, man. Have you ever heard
sometimes
of Apple?
Less is more. Sometimes less is more. Unless
yeah.
You're Joey Chestnut trying to eat 74 hot dog sandwiches.
He did not eat hot dog sandwiches. It is not the hot dog sandwich eating competition. Check it out.
He
Google it.
74 hot dog sandwiches in 10
Google
minutes.
Google it. Google it.
Right. Yeah, but this basketball tournament's awesome. And it's really fun to see like the resurrection of the Jimmer Fredette excitement on Twitter. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is awesome. And I've loved to see the University of Utah fans somehow like trying to downplay Jimmer. I mean, we get it, he's not in the NBA. Like, you know, Utah fans don't have to tell us that. Like, we know. There's not a BYU fan that doesn't know that. So,
and I think it's great when people have to go out of their way to try and make you feel bad about cheering for an athlete that you like in a tournament that's not the NBA. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
and are
not,
they doing like, the same thing to Ohio State fans and Greg Oden?
It's ridiculous.
No, they're
people
not.
People need to get a life.
Stupid.
Get a life.
Yeah, go get a life. So... Jimmer is playing. That's great. Everyone's talking about the NBA. Can we stop with the NBA? He's not going to the NBA.
It's not going to happen, everybody.
We've already talked about this. It's not. His career is elsewhere, and that's fine.
He's the lonely master.
Do you believe that in order for him to have had a good NBA career, he has to have the ball in his hand all the time?
Yes. The offense has to go through him.
I don't believe that.
For him to be able to do his thing.
I think he could have been... like a Vinny Johnson microwave guy off the bench. And yeah, I had the ball in his hands sometimes, but I don't think he had to be your main point guard to have had a good career. But maybe I'm wrong. Gary Payne has a tweet bag question for us. That's at FastBreakGP. He says, Elam ending. Discuss as a fan, as a basketball purist, etc. Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag painbag. Matt, the Elam ending, are you familiar with it?
I'm not. I'm afraid I'm not very familiar with this.
Okay, so here's how it works, and the basketball tournament does this. Okay.
Okay. I got you. Go ahead.
Okay, so with 3 minutes left in an NBA game, a pro game, or 4 minutes left in the college game, you turn off the clock, and from that point on, you play to a target score. In this case, it is whatever team is ahead plus 7. So if you're up 89-80, the target score is 96. And the first person to 96 wins. Okay? So, anyway, that's how they're doing it. Matt, is that something you'd like to see adopted in other leagues or formats?
No. I think maybe as part of an overtime. Maybe that's like at the end of overtime, you do something like that, but not in regulation.
Oh, by the way, it's named for Nick Elam, who's a Ball State professor. And I believe
Ball State.
He came up with it. And
it's in Muncie, Indiana.
In theory.
It's funny, though, because it's basketball, Ball State.
Yeah, it's hilarious. You're really funny tonight.
It's great. That's great.
So
Muncie, Indiana.
Oh my gosh, why are you still talking about this? He, in theory, it stops the NBA and college issue of the fouling down the stretch, right?
Which I hate. That is well documented that I hate the fouling down
yes,
the stretch.
You do.
Those should all be called as flagrant fouls.
Yeah.
You foul somebody intentionally, it should be an intentional foul and treated as such. Sorry, I'll get off that soapbox.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't think there's some unintended consequences that could happen and whatever else that I would just leave it as it is. You know, the buzzer beater would go away, right? The buzzer beater goes away, and I don't know if I would be okay with that. Now, there's a game-winning shot every single time, right? So that's kind of cool. But no, and as far as basketball purity goes, I don't care about that. I mean, to me, the changes happen all the time. If you're a basketball purist, then we need to hang peach baskets up there. Nobody can touch each other, and you can't jump or dunk. You know what I mean? Like, the basketball purist thing, when I heard somebody said it's you can't do that to basketball, it's like, that's just stupid. They've made bigger changes than that to basketball in the past. Like the shot clock. Yeah, that's a pretty significant change.
I think that's actually a pretty good comparison.
And the change I want to make, which is no more fouling out. What if they went to yellow cards
all
and red cards? Like the World Cup. I don't know. I'm just brainstorming here in a terrible way.
I think you can't go to a yellow card or red card system in basketball just because the way that, or else you just, fouls would never be called. Maybe that's what you're saying. Just stop calling fouls.
No, you'd still call fouls. They call fouls in soccer. They just don't count them.
Assess them to anybody. I see what you're saying.
Right. And they just call a foul. And then if you keep fouling, they give you a yellow card. And if you get a second yellow card, you get a red. Or if you do something atrociously bad, you get a red. You know, I mean, it's a flawed system too, right? Because there are issues with that too. I just don't like people fouling out with five fouls or six fouls.
Or that your guy gets three fouls and now your best player's on the bench for the rest of the first half, right? It's just silly.
And in overtime, they don't extend it, right? Like, if you're going to do that, everybody should get another foul, right? If they fouled out, they can come back in at minimum. Like, I just think it's dumb. I remember watching an NBA game a couple years ago in overtime where, you know, the best player on each team and fouled out, and you're watching not the best player in a playoff game. It's just dumb. And people are like, well, that's just how it's played. Doesn't have to be, right? I don't know. Would you do the Elam rule? Would you like to see them, like, even do it in maybe some exhibition games at the college level?
Maybe in some exhibition games, but again, I could get behind it being part of an overtime.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's not a bad idea. If overtime, basically, you know, you play for like 2 minutes and then it's a target score, a +7 of whoever's ahead, something like that. Yeah, that could be interesting. Matt, before we get into football, I wanted to let people know that my second Empire of the Peak book is available for pre-order.
Available now.
It's called Wayward Flight. It's book two. If you've read Peak Crosser, which is book one, then it's the long-awaited sequel. If you haven't, well, you can go sign up for my mailing list, get the prequel story, buy Peak Crosser, and then pre-order Wayward Flight. So there you go.
There's several ways to win.
Lots of ways to win. No ways to lose. So anyway, check that out. That'll be in the show notes, or just go to adamjmangum.com/books, and you can find all those things, or search for it on Amazon or where other fine ebooks are sold. All right, Matt, football. Associate head coach, assistant head coach, Ed Lamb?
Is it associate or assistant?
I don't know, whatever.
I feel like whatever it is, it might be changing soon.
Yeah. So he's in front of some alumni down in St. George, which is a beautiful place, by the way, St. George, Utah.
I happened to be there last week.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. Ed Lamb basically said a bunch of stuff, Matt, that I'm guessing Kalani Sitake did not want him to say.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Now, the biggest truth bomb, is that a thing, truth bomb?
I think it is a thing.
I think it's a thing that he leveled was that Bo Hodge, and he basically, if I'm getting the quote white,
Rivalry week.
He basically said, as everybody knows, Bo Hodge is, we've been thinking about switching his position. Everybody knows.
It's common knowledge.
Common knowledge. I'd never even heard the concept.
Yeah, I think everybody was surprised.
I think Jerem tweeted out his surprise, right? Jerem Jordan, friend of the podcast.
What's going on in that program? If people know about it, Jerem knows about it.
By the way, who said this? Enemy of the podcast. Do you remember seeing that tweet?
Oh, I did see that. Why are there only friends of the podcast?
Yeah. Where is it? Must be a Facebook one. Dang it.
Well, I'm going to go ahead with the quote. This is what he said about Bo Hodge. Bo Hodge has a lot of other skills. I think it's fairly common knowledge that he's playing other positions and might fit in somewhere else.
Nope. Yeah. Not.
Wasn't
not,
Ed.
Not common knowledge. Not common knowledge, Ed. I would say that, you know, Sitake does not give away things to the press. Right?
Nope.
And I find it strange that he decided to do that, that he decided to say that. I find it strange.
Maybe he doesn't know that people outside of the program weren't really aware of
How
that.
How about this? Don't say it.
Because it's part of his day-to-day.
But don't say it, what your day-to-day is. At those type of events, you just talk in generalities, right? You don't give specifics. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what to do with that one. But by the way, enemy of the podcast, or whatever, it's anybody that went to San Diego State.
Wow, that's a really broad brush.
I feel like it's warranted. Daniel Smith on Facebook, and if you want to jump and climb on into the tweet bag on Facebook, you do it at facebook.com/riseandshout. What do you think of the reports that Bo Hodge might be switching, trying out other positions? What does that say about the quarterback battle? And Dr. Nick says, I was surprised by this as I thought Hodge had the best half of any QB last fall. It's so sad that that's how we're judging QB performance last year. Is this a sign Hodge may not fit in the system Grimes wants to run? I don't think this is a sign of anything because I'm not sure that this is even true. Not that he
There's didn't. A report. There's not reports. There's a report.
I'm saying not that Lamb lied. I'm saying I'm not sure the fact that he played in spring practice played a little bit of some other positions, which we don't know what the other position was, right? Wide receiver, defensive back, running back, I don't know. Doesn't necessarily mean anything, right? They've got a lot of quarterbacks. Hodge seems to be and has the reputation of being a team guy. Heck, he may have just been filling in some drills. So anyway, I don't know what this means, Matt. Does it mean anything for the QB race?
I think it does. I think that there's some concern with Hodge playing quarterback, and it's not just about the QB race. I think part of it might be about his health and maybe put him in a position to not be holding the ball on every down.
I don't think it means anything. I don't know. It's hard for me to say right now based on one quote said in front of alumni that Hajj is not as much in the mix as we believed he was a week ago. You know what I mean? I don't know what to make of it until somebody else reacts to it. Right? Till Kalani says
something.
Well,
and nobody inside the program is going to address it.
No. No. No one's going to address it. So anyway, Matt, we're going to talk about the QB pipeline. We're going to go through all of these QBs, and we're going to predict the starter, the backup, and the third string for the next four seasons.
Let's do this thing.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. So in 2018, the quarterbacks that I think are meaningfully on the roster are Mangum, Hajj, Critchlow, Wilson, Hall, and Connor. Okay? Who's the starter?
On primary the beginning starter of the first year? Game?
No. Who gets the most starts in 2018?
Critchlow. What?
Gosh, you just flop like you wouldn't believe.
I am all over the place because of this Ed Lamb quote.
Oh,
I don't
gosh.
Even know my own name.
And because he said how great Critchlow was? Is that part of it too? He's not the man making the decision. And he recruited Critchlow at SUU. Like, this is just him talking about his own guy. I don't care about that. I don't think that means anything. And if it does, if he's giving away who the starter is, Kalani's gonna fire him. Right?
Oh, no. I don't think Critchlow starts the first game.
That's why he becomes the starter.
I think he becomes the starter. I think Mangum starts against Arizona.
Okay, so if Mangum and Critchlow are part of your top two, who's three? Hajj or somebody else?
Yep, Hajj.
Okay, I've got the same top three. I just got Hajj starting the most games. If it's not Hajj, I think it's Mangum. I don't think Critchlow starts a game. But I think he's the third string guy. But I don't think he starts a game. Interesting that there is, I think, a perception that for whatever reason Grimes wants a mobile quarterback, despite the fact that he's never said he has to have a running quarterback. His quotes are very clear that he cares most about accuracy of throwing the football. I mean, he's said that multiple times since he's been hired. But yet, still, I see like people like, well, it's going to be Hajj or Wilson because they can run. And I'm like, I just don't believe that's the case based on unless these folks know something I don't know. I think we got to take Grimes at his word because he's said it several times, right? All right, so in our scenario then, Wilson, Hall, and Connor all redshirt. You don't think Critchlow redshirts. I don't know if he redshirts or not. Really depends on health, right? In my scenario. I'm going to say no. He doesn't redshirt, so we'll stay on the same path. So in 2019, the QBs on the roster would be Hajj as a senior, Critchlow as, in our scenario, junior, Wilson, Hall, and Connor as redshirt freshmen. Who starts the most games in 2019?
Bo Hajj.
What? You're everywhere. Critchlow in 2018 and Bo Hajj in 2019?
Yeah, it's going to be a circus.
Oh,
I agree.
I agree,
but it's going to be a circus. It's like, this is not quite Riley Nelson, Jay Keefe's level, but it's going to be a circus.
Gosh. You're a circus. I can't even believe where you going. All right, I'm going to say that Hajj gets the most starts, Wilson is the backup, and Critchlow is again third. And that Wilson would be first up if Hajj goes down, or if I'm wrong. Huh, interesting. Okay, 2020, Critchlow, senior, Wilson, Hall, and Connor, sophomore. By the way, those three aren't all going to be quarterbacks, right, at BYU. At
Correct.
Some point, one or two of those guys leaves, based on history, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think if Wilson doesn't get a clear path, it might be him. But anyway, assuming these guys all stay, those are your four quarterbacks in 2020. Who gets the most starts in 2020?
Wilson.
Wilson gets the most starts. Who's backing him up? Critchlow?
I don't know who's backing him up.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the game. You have to tell me who's backing him up. Like,
that's
what
think,
we're doing.
I'm going to go ahead and say that it's Hall or somebody not yet listed.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. All right. That's fair. You can say that.
I've got a whole back drama to my guessing here. There's a whole
back
drama to it.
What's the back
Critchlow,
drama?
Critchlow will no longer be in Provo.
Ah, Critchlow stays. Critchlow stays. Isn't he even a walk-on? I don't think he even has a scholarship. Like, this guy wants to wear blue. Okay. Royal or Navy. He doesn't care which one. Which, by the way, my whole family, we got the new game t-shirts and they arrived today. Very exciting.
We got them too. Did you do all one color or did you mix and match?
The four-year-old wanted Navy. She wouldn't move, so we got her Navy. Everybody else has got Royal.
I let everybody pick. We got Navy, Royal, and White. We got them all.
Nobody got White. We didn't. There's one of our kids that was kind of thinking White, and then she asked what everybody else was going, and then she jumped on the Royal bandwagon. All right, so in 2020, I say Wilson gets the most starts. I think Critchlow is backing him up. I don't think Hall or Connor are probably still with the program. In 2021, you would have Critchlow gone by that point. Wilson, Hall, Connor, if they all stayed around. And then you'd have, returning from his mission, if he indeed comes into the program, is highly touted quarterback, four-star guy, Jacob Conover. I'm going to say Wilson is the starter. Conover either is backing him up or red shirts, depending on who else is there. And there's probably somebody else by 2021, either recruit, transfer, that's on that list somewhere. What about you in 2021?
I'm the same way. I got Wilson and then Conover, which is funny because we're sitting here like we already know who a freshman quarterback on the roster is going to be in 2021.
Well, I threw him on, and I didn't throw on any of the other quarterback recruits only because he's so highly recruited, right? It's hard to throw any of the other guys on because I just have a hard time believing that any of them gets, if Wilson's still on the roster, that any of the other guys in between now and Conover get a legitimate shot, right? And you got Critchlow, and you got Hodge, and you got Hall, if he sticks around, and or Connor. Though I am highly doubtful that Connor ever plays quarterback at BYU. If he switches positions, I think he could have a career. But so Matt, who are you highest on in this pipeline? Not for 2018, but and take Conover off the table of the guys that are on the roster today. Who are you highest on? Who has the ceiling that you're most excited about?
You know, I go back and forth. You know, I really like Hodge, and I think that if he can play to his potential, he may be the best quarterback on the list.
Yeah. It's tough for me. Here's the thing. I know everyone's in love with Zach Wilson. He's a freshman, and I do think he could have a very, very good career. I'm highest on Mangum. I know that will be the completely unpopular opinion, but he's the one who is highly recruited and has been actually successful at the collegiate level, right? So if you were lining all these guys up out of high school, it would be Mangum, right?
Without a doubt. You wouldn't even flinch.
Right? And he struggled, though, right? So, and the problem with Hodge is not that his pedigree or whatever, is we're talking about half of a game against Utah State is his case as the best quarterback, right? And the problem with Critchlow is he lost to UMass, right? So, I mean, you look at those top three and you say there's more question marks than there is exclamation marks, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I want it to be Mangum. I want him to be the best.
You want him to go out with a great senior year.
Yeah, but one of the things that I found interesting in these comments by Ed Lamb was the comment about Mangum not responding well to the coaching style of the previous staff.
Yeah, so let's talk about that
for
a second.
What is that all about?
That comment is super vague, right? Because it doesn't say what about the coaching style, right? Was it the lack of discipline, like Hodge alluded to in spring practice when he was interviewed and he talked about, you know, the people not showing up to meetings, right? And that's not going to happen. We're showing up late to meetings. So that's not going to happen with Grimes, I don't think. Was it the style of the offense? Was it the style of the coaching? Were they trying to change his mechanics? Lamb said mean like 100 things?
Right. Who knows what it means?
Yeah. So I don't know. The other piece is, you know, is Mangum going to be healthy 100%? Right. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that either.
For me, that is a huge question mark.
Because he throws great on the run, right? Those two big wins his freshman year, he threw some of his best passes, including, you know, the Hail Marys, while moving around in the pocket. If he can't do that, I don't know if he's the sit back in the pocket guy. I don't think that's who he is.
I think he's not the sit back in the pocket guy, and that's what the system that Detmer was running wanted him to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that was part of the problem. But the thing I worry about for this year is I don't know what kind of system Grimes is going to run. Grimes sounds like a guy who's going to try and tailor the system to the athletes who he believes are the best in any position.
Right.
But I'm not sure Mangum is physically the same guy that he was when he was doing well throwing the ball on the run.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either. What about Jaren Hall? I mean, what chances do you give him to one day be the starting quarterback at BYU?
Man, that's so hard to say, right? I mean, but you see, you know, a handful of clips on Twitter and other places, I mean, that get you really excited.
Yeah.
But we'd have to have a system and a staff ready to take advantage of that set of skills, and we've not consistently – I don't feel like we've ever consistently been able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's – it's tough. It's tough. I think there's a couple of things that are counting against Hall, right? The first one is there. It's crowded, right? And he's not the most talented, at least based on recruiting scores, of this group, right? Doesn't mean he can't win, because I don't know that Grimes, Satake, or anybody, I think they're going to put who they think can win football games, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other piece is no one's talking about him as a potentially, I mean, he just got off his mission, so he's probably not in the picture at all in 2018, right?
Yeah, that would be shocking if he got into the
It'd be shocking because it would mean one of two things. He just was amazing in fall practice and blows everybody away, or everybody's so terrible and or injured that he ends up becoming the guy, right? The first scenario is fine if he really is the best guy. I want to go back to something you said on the show a few weeks ago, or maybe it was longer ago than that, where you thought Grimes was going to pick Mangum and or Hodge because they're the ones with the most experience, and you know, Grimes is going to try to get his offense going. Anything Lamb said or anything that you think changes that for you? Do you think Mangum really is the guy based on Grimes is going to go with the most experience?
I think that if you look at part of what Lamb said, that's kind of what makes me think that Mangum is at least going to be the starter up front. You know, Lamb talks about Critchlow in the long term, right? Like, he's not really ready for prime time now, but he's going to be really good down the road. That's kind of the feeling I get out of Lamb on Critchlow. And then what you hear about Bo Hodge is we're trying him at a bunch of other positions. That seems to tell me that they're leaning towards Mangum. You know, Ed Lamb also goes on in this same context to talk about how, you know, there's no reason for us to tell Arizona who our starting quarterback is. So we're probably not going to do that. But we're going to have to make that decision on day two or three of camp, which is what? I mean, that's tomorrow or Friday. I mean, that's this week. And so they're going to know, they're going to make that decision. So if that, all of those things are really true, I think that the signaling here, if you take what Ed Lamb is saying just on face value, I believe it's a signal that Mangum is the guy to start at the beginning of the season.
Well, Satake said this week, actually echoed Lamb's comments on that piece, which is they're going to try to make a decision as soon as they can, and they're not going to tell the press and anybody else who it is, right? So, I mean, making a decision after the first couple days of camp, doesn't that mean it was already made? Right?
It means it was likely already made. And, yeah. You know, you get out of spring ball and you say to the top two or three guys, hey, look, you're in the mix. You need to go work on these things and you need to be able to show me where you have improved coming out the gate in August.
I don't know. I think they've already decided. And it really comes down to those first few days of camp. Whoever it is needs to just show. And that's why I think it's Mangum.
Just don't mess it up, right? Like, don't show
up. No, he needs to show he's physically capable, right? Right? Like, it's the first few days of fall camp. What are you going to mess up, right? Like,
Well, you could show up overweight. You could not memorize your playbook. You know, you could have some of those. Maybe you're not fully healthy.
Yeah. But you know, I think it's really healthy.
It's your fault, but that would be a reason for them to say, hey, look, let's give him a few more weeks to get better and see what he looks like when he shows up in August. And if he's healthy, we're good to go, and it's going to be Manga. But if we get here in August and he's obviously not healthy on day one, we know we're going to have to go a different direction.
All right. Well, let's move on now to a tweet bag question from Josh Crowley via email. It's really long, Josh. So I'm going to paraphrase very quickly. He basically says they changed the offensive system, got rid of Detmer, and, you know, not totally dissimilar from the issues that Utah's had where, you know, consistency in offensive coaching has been a problem, and shouldn't Kalani have learned his lesson, and really isn't it all on Kalani? Matt, do you believe... and I think we've talked about this before several times. Do you believe it should have been Kalani let go?
No.
Do you think the offensive coaching staff should have been dismantled?
Yes.
Here's the problem with Josh's question. I don't think Kalani got to pick his offensive coordinator.
Agreed.
So the problem with putting it on Kalani is if he was told, this is your offensive coordinator, and he's getting his dream job, and they say, hey, we want you to take Detmer, and he takes him, then holding him responsible for that seems short-sighted. So no, I don't think it should have been Kalani. And yes, it should have definitely been Detmer. It was one of the worst offenses in college football and the worst offense BYU's had since the 60s. So... yes.
Well, and let's be clear here, right? Like, so Mendenhall leaves, you get Kalani in, you fire Kalani at the end of last year, you're doing 100% turnover in your staff, theoretically.
Yeah. You're not keeping
Depth. Are you really at that? Like, you're burning the house down.
Yep.
So when you're trying to make these types of course corrections, you want to do it with as little upheaval as possible, right? So that's why head coaches have longer leashes than coordinators do.
Well, yeah, for sure. And you want to give, I think you want to give a guy 3 years unless there is something outside of football that's a problem, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, another Facebook tweet bag question, or face bag if you want to call it that. Spencer Thurman asks, basically, he's saying, we've got lots of join a conference stuff. Thanks, Gordon Monson, for getting that going again. And he says, what can BYU do, if anything, to make itself more marketable to a power conference? For instance, would BYU ever try to become a so-called research university in order to gain accredited? No, what's that status? AAU. What does that stand for?
I don't know. I just know that in the youth basketball sense.
Yeah, I think it's different letters. But anyway, and perhaps join the Big Ten. If the mission of BYU is to teach students, why not become more research-oriented and expand the capabilities of the university as a whole? None of this matters, Spencer, what you're talking about. Zero.
The only thing they can do to become more marketable to a power conference is win games.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure that's some it. Level, and on some level, that will also hurt them.
The Big Ten took Rutgers and Maryland. Were they successful football programs? That had shown lots of history of winning, and
but Rutgers brought the New York TV market New York TV Morgan.
In New Jersey, too.
Oh, that's great.
So, that's great. And Maryland brought the whole Northeast with them.
It brought, well, yeah, sure they did.
Everybody. Maryland, Connecticut.
Man, with those two programs, they basically own the East Coast.
That's right, they do. The Big Ten is never adding BYU. Okay.
No.
None of this has to do with research institutions or any of that garbage.
That was an excuse that the Pac-10 made
a long time ago in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know that anybody's saying that nowadays. People are just adding because of geography, TV contracts, and the like. And Nebraska went to the Big Ten because they're Nebraska, right? Not because they're a great research institution. Okay? No, there's nothing we can do. Our biggest bonus / weakness is the same thing, which is our affiliation with the church. That's the thing that I think will, you know, makes us unique as a university and makes it so that some folks, whether that was the Pac-12 or the Big 12 or whomever else, are never going to touch us. You know, so I don't know that there's anything that you can do to make yourself more marketable besides, as you said, win football games. I think if we have another terrible season like this, that certainly doesn't help the case.
No, but we could have 6 straight 10-win seasons, and I don't know that it would help either.
Yeah, I don't know that it would.
But it's the only thing inside of our control that we would realistically do.
Because think of how good we were in the 80s and 90s and didn't get an invite. I don't know that we can replicate that run in the 80s and we didn't get in, right?
Right, but we are. It's a different deal. But we are because of TV contracts in a completely different world of conference alignment.
Oh, absolutely. But in the end, none of these conferences need BYU. If they decide to expand in a meaningful way, we are a program that could add to the TV bucket and not just take from it. Cool. But if they don't decide to expand, or everybody decides to just pick off the good folks out of the Big 12, then I don't know. We're not Texas for a TV audience, right? We're not Oklahoma, you know, so I don't know. I don't know if there's anything we can do to be more marketable. Christopher Clark on Twitter at ChrisClarkUS. Should BYU play any international football games? # tweetbag, # international BYU fans. Matt, this has come up. Any international games? Should we play them?
I'm not into the international games thing. Nope. Maybe I would feel different if I lived in a foreign country, but no.
Terrible for your team, traveling overseas during the season. Bad idea.
Then the games are all played at weird times. The fields aren't right. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. I'm not a big fan. Not in football. In basketball, I feel different. Like if the hoops team is going abroad for like this, you know, off-season tournament, that's fine. That's great. Matt, speaking of hoops, Lawless Republic is reporting that the ESPN computers love the 2018-2019 BYU Cougars. Last year, oh my gosh, I hate Lawless Republic site. They have that whitelist thing, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Never mind. I'm not using your site. Basically, the BPI is going up to like 39. They have us at preseason 39 in their computer rankings. Matt, buy or sell the Cougars as a top 45 team next year?
I'm selling it.
I'm selling it too. I think they will be better. And so I think there will be improvement despite the fact that we lost Elijah Bryan. I just think the team will be deeper. And you kind of got, I think Nick Emery could have an Elijah Bryant-like season anyway. So I'm not sure you necessarily lost anything and you're gaining depth. So I think we'll be better. But top 45 team, I don't know. What about buy or sell them as a NCAA tournament team?
That I feel like is a push, maybe a buy. I do think the team will be improved, but top 45 seems like a big stretch.
I said that last year too, by the way. So our final shout. All right, we have been talking about what you would do for a national championship. And by the way, I missed some on Facebook last week when we went through this. So we're going to talk about them now. Are you ready?
Ready, let's do this.
So our brother Don said he would stop listening to the Rise and Shout podcast. It would be a sacrifice. Don, you still listen? Huh, I didn't know that.
Hmm.
And his wife Jean says, but they would not give up Torchy's Tacos. They can only sacrifice so much.
Yeah, I'm with them on the Torchy's Tacos.
You wouldn't give up Torchy's
Tacos? No, actually,
Taco to
I, think I, said, I think
you
I said on
said
this show.
Would.
I would. I'd give up Torchy's.
Yeah, it'd be tough. I mean, it's got to be a sacrifice or it's not meaningful, right?
Right.
Andre Hutchins said last week, I don't think I could give up movies. I've thought about that one for a while and I just can't do it. Andre loves movies. How about he would run one marathon a month for the rest of his life if it meant BYU won 5 national championships in both basketball and football in his lifetime? A marathon a month, Matt. You're the runner. That sounds terrible to me, but is it? Could you do that for the rest of your life?
For the rest of, I don't know how long Andre's planning to live.
50.
But are we talking about 5 national championships in football and 5 national championships in basketball for
Correct.
A total of 10 banners?
Correct. 10 banners. You got to run a marathon a month for the rest of your life. So you're basically training forever. Or I guess you could just walk the 21 miles, just have to finish it.
It's actually 26.2 miles, but that's fine. Who's counting?
Who cares?
But yeah,
put that sticker on your car, whatever it is.
It's a magnet. But a marathon a month for the rest of his life. Yikes. I mean, there's people who do that kind of thing and they're running. I think that feels like a lot of running even to me. But I'm not like, there's more fanatic runners out there than I am.
But you would do it to get 10 banners.
For 10 banners, I'd do it.
I'd commit to that for 10 banners.
You're giving up half a Saturday. Once a month for the rest of your life. I mean, but what's that?
Nothing. It's nothing. Just do it before college football starts, meaning, time of day.
Right.
Andre this week had one for us. And by the way, on Twitter, he said we better read his sweet tweet bag question, face bag question. Okay. So
this is a pretty good one.
It is a pretty good one. And he said he'd be very disappointed. And I gave him a gif of the Dread Pirate Robert saying, get used to disappointment. But fair enough, Andre, we're still going
to What BYU sports conversation would be complete without at least one reference to the Princess Bride?
Hey, next week I'll break out references to Willow. All right.
Keep using the word. I'm not sure it means what you think it means.
Andre says this, pick your poison. You win an all-expense-paid trip to 2 of these 5. I'll list those in a second. Away games this season, but in order to attend, you have to sit alone, surrounded by the opposing fans, and no Cougar fan within 100 feet of you. Pick and tell us why. The 5 games he have is Arizona, Wisconsin, Washington, Boise State, and Utah. Hashtag go Cougs, hashtag low key tofu. which you are no longer in a beef, you're no longer in a low key beef. You're in a low-key tofu with Andre. It doesn't make any sense, and now it seems so convoluted it's lost all of its meaning. But anyway, so those 5 games, Matt, you have to – and I'm going to say this. You also have to wear Cougar blue. Like, you have to be decked out. You can't go
Yeah,
like
but
anonymous.
That's just a clarification. I believe that would be the expectation.
Yes, you're sitting right in the middle of opposing fans. I'll tell you which ones are out for me automatically.
Okay, yep.
Arizona and Boise State are out. Out.
Yeah,
there's no
Arizona
way
is immediately out. And one of these is immediately in.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, in Wisconsin. Nope. Hands down, that's one of your 2.
Yeah, they're not going to give. I mean, maybe one drunk guy gives you some crap, but the fans around him are likely to shout him down.
And they're probably going to give you delicious broth.
And we're going to be losing by 3 touchdowns by halftime and no one will care.
That's right.
What about Washington? I think I'd go to Washington. I've never been to a game there. I don't know a lot of Washington football fans, but I know people in that state. They all seem pretty cool.
I've met a couple of Washington football fans, and when I compare, like, the three remaining teams, right? Arizona, Boise State, and Utah, all have reputations for being pretty obnoxious for BYU fans.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I think you have to go with Washington here. Even, I mean, for, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're just as obnoxious, but I've not been tainted with that information or that reputation.
I mean, you weren't almost killed in Seattle. You were almost killed in Tucson.
Correct.
So
well, we all know what the Utah fans did to Max Hall's family.
By the way, I would totally dress in BYU blue and go sit in the Utah section.
Yeah, I would do that.
I would do that. I would pick Arizona and Wisconsin and Washington for other reasons, but I would do that. So, all right, Matt.
But I don't even want to go to a game at Boise State. Like the thing
hey, Boise State.
Like you already have Boise. To go to the game in Boise, and stare at the blue turf. I don't want to do that.
I know, but it might blind you.
It makes it even worse. It makes it even worse.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, Matt, I totally forgot we were going to preview Cal, Arizona, and Washington today, and we're out of time.
Yeah, we're just going to have to. Well, listen, had Ed Lamb not said what he said, we could have gotten to those.
We probably would have been able to squeeze it in. So, we will continue our opposing team previews next week. I don't know with whom. Maybe those three, maybe not. I might start to mix it around. No, we'll just move them all back a week. Next week will be Cal, Arizona, Washington. The week after that will be Wisconsin, Boise State, and Northern Illinois. And on our predictions, big prediction show, we'll do Utah State and Utah.
There we go.
And we already did terrible previews of UMass, Hawaii, and New Mexico State last week.
Previews on par with the competition.
Correct. So we'll be back next week. We'll also be previewing the defense, Matt. We're going to be talking about the defense, picking who we think our impact players will be, all the stuff on the defense. So be prepared for that. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. If we've had a few reviews on iTunes, so I appreciate that, some new ones. If you like the show and you're new, go ahead over to iTunes and leave us a review. As I said, always, if you've got ideas for questions or shows, send it to us on all those different social platforms. Matt, anything else you want to say before we
depart? No, I'm just going to say Hutchins really, really killed it in the tweet bag this week.
Yeah, that was a pretty good tweet bag question. I do have to say.
That last one was a winner. That was a real winner.
It was a winner. So is your beef done or your low-key tofu? Did he make up for it?
Nope.
Oh, wow. 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 You're serious about this low-key tofu thing.
I hold grudges for slights, for perceived slights that I don't remember. I hold those grudges for a long time.
Of course you do. You're ridiculous. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.